Well, it's a Panthers post-championship playoff winning podcast. How great does that sound? I'm joined by Jono Bullard, Ken Feast, Dan Green. We think Chris Gadsby might be joining us later, but he's probably still partying. Party animal Gadsby, probably on his fourth day. Don't know why he's going to be late. Anyway, evening, guys.
Good
Good evening.
evening.
Let's start with you, Ken. I mean, I'm going to go around individually. You might say all the same things, but let's take it as a whole. How insane was that?
It was unbelievable. I've still not got my voice back. Yeah, it was incredible to set to have it unfold in the way that it did with the drama at the end. I think I've said, if Spielberg put it together into a script and it was like last season to ending in this season's playoff final and all the drama of the games and what it took to get to the final and all and everything, you wouldn't believe the plot. I might have to call Emilio Estevez because apparently Mighty Ducks 4 isn't happening. So you've got somebody who knows how to make a hockey movie, maybe just sitting around. So if you're listening, Emilio, just give me a call.
I mean, I'm going to try and break it down. I mean, let's go, Jono, to the first game. Let's be honest. Sheffield came out of the blocks stronger than the Panthers did for a period and a half, and looked pretty much in control of the game. And I'm going to credit the players here because you go to that game and think, right, let's break it down. Sheffield came out strong. We got that massive goal where Hugo tips in Cooper's. What a great weekend Cooper had, but we could call that for many players. But yeah, Hugo tips in Cooper's shot. We take the lead late on, the fluky goal to level it, and we found a way in overtime. Sam Hare, there's so many plots to this, but the perseverance of the team was in evident all weekend, and it started Saturday, didn't it, Jono?
Yeah. I mean, that first period, Sheffield, were completely dominant. We got barely any zone time. But one thing that we did do, they had 17 shots on goal, but apart from the one they scored, I think that was the only real good opportunity they had in the first period to score. We were keeping them very much to the outside. Yeah, they had a lot of possession in our zone. They had a lot of possession all over the ice, but we weren't giving them any sort of grade A chances. I think if they'd got more chances in the middle, I mean they'll probably feel that they should have come out of that period two, maybe three up. They didn't. We got the goal back through Cooper's second. And I think once, well, sorry,
Hugo,
well,
yeah.
Hugo, it was
Got
Hugo.
changed,
It
didn't it?
was,
Got
yeah.
changed.
But once that one went in, it completely changed the complexion of the game. And from that point, then Panthers were on top for what I felt was the rest of the game.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Panthers certainly grew from that. Greener, as a player, you can relate to this. In such a big game, if you're not if you're two down and things aren't going your way, obviously the belief is there in the room. But what's key for a side? Is it that belief and perseverance?
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously, we've scored a lot of goals in building, a lot of goals in quick succession in this building.
Well, I don't
Um,
think John has mentioned that, to be honest,
and we've
but.
and we've just had a lot of success, I think. So it's, if we hadn't have had a good season, the sort of doubt might creep in a bit. But the amount of comebacks we've had this year, my thing was, I think on the commentary, I said, if Sheffield can get to the period break here up 2-0, it'll obviously be, quite a big mountain to climb in the third, but getting that goal late on, as Jono said, just almost as soon as that went in, you could just see the tide changing, almost instantaneously. So, yeah, and then into the third, and we just grew and grew into it. So, getting that goal late on was massive.
I mean, I feel bad to because you could almost talk about every single player and give a case for why they were so good at the weekend. But Ken, Captain Sam Hare, two goals in the semi-final. I mean, it's just everything about him was encapsulated, wasn't it, at the weekend?
I think it was a real quality captain's performance.
Apologies, one goal in the semi, two in the final, but you
Just
take my point.
But yeah, absolutely. And I think he said in one of the interviews, their goal was just, I think they've done extremely well this season. It's been a hallmark of this Panthers team and the leadership within the group and Sam's leadership that they don't get rattled when they're down. They just say, you know what, the objective is to come out and play better. Just get better, get better. So as the game progresses, get better. And they almost don't worry about what's happened. They just concentrate on what they're going to do better next time. Because quite right, I mean, my reflections of watching the game was like, this is like getting on for one of like the first 30 minutes was some of the most difficult to watch. And I was thinking, we're really struggling here. And then it was just like when that goal went in, it was just like they relaxed and they just started playing with freedom, and the just it was just great to watch the transition in the game, and the confidence come through and the momentum change. But I think when you talk about players that had an outstanding weekend, look, I mean, Matt Alfero, I mean,
Oh.
what an absolute warrior that guy's, like, just putting his body on the line, absolutely. Just a huge performances from here. Absolutely special. Mention, like I say, you could mention loads of the guys, but yeah, I just thought what a complete performance that he put in over the course of the weekend. Incredible.
Absolutely incredible. I mean, anyone else want to add anything before we move on? There's so much to talk about. Anyone else want to add anything else on the semi? Is there anything, Jono, that you think that we've not touched on?
Yeah, I think the fact that it only took, what was it, 36 seconds of OT
Yeah.
to score the winning goal, especially after that fluky goal that Sheffield scored to equalise it.
Yeah.
That was just,
Shades of that Lacho goal, wasn't it?
yeah,
Right.
Lacko in 2013. Yeah, very, very similar. And I think the fact that the heads could have gone down, but no, they still had the determination to still get the job done. They didn't let it affect them. They just got on with it, scored a goal in 36 seconds, and went to the final. Just the mental strength for them to do that after that, I think, is
It was
absolutely
all, and it was
phenomenal.
always going to be Sam Herr. It was always going to
Yeah,
be Sam Herr.
it was written. It was
It's
written
like
on it.
written out already. Yeah,
Yeah, I
and the
totally.
wave, the iconic wave as well.
Oh
Oh,
my
like,
God.
oh, I mean,
Oh.
just like talk about, I mean, karma does not pay its debts in cash.
Yeah.
That was just
Hang it in
poetic.
the Louvre. Hang it in the Louvre.
And Grande's wave as well. I mean, I did joke about this on Sunday morning, I think, we did a few podcasts over the weekend, and I joked about the fact that when Jody Lehmann, now I did, I said it on the stage, when Jody Lehmann did it in 2009 and came to celebrate with our fans, and I remember, I tell the story about how I commentated on it and criticized him, and he got to find out, and we knew each other, so we were comfortable with disagreeing, and I told him he should have gone to the Steelers fans, and he explained why he'd done it because Panthers fans had given him grief, and then effectively Hare waves the Steelers players off, Grande goes to the Steelers fans and waves at them. Our celebration ends up being on the boards in front of them, and I was 100% all for it, and that's double standards, but I don't care one bit. Brilliant. All those years on, maybe it was karma all those years on. Greener, let's move on to the final, right? And I was gutted to see Otto Niemann miss out. It looked like he was going to be the one to miss out as well on the Sunday. Pretty sure if Davis Bunter's injury had been okay, my hunch is he was going to be the one to miss out. I don't think that they were always going to scratch one from warm up, but I don't know. I can't say for sure. So I'd have been devastated that Otto wouldn't have played in playoff weekend. I saw his face behind the glass on Saturday. He was living and breathing it just like the rest of us, you know. But sadly for Davis, who I thought had a brilliant Saturday, you know, set up that goal when he came into the zone again. Then we talked about key moments. He skated around the neck, and it was a tip from Reed, wasn't it, to get Panthers, you know, a goal on Saturday. But Green, and my point is, it's like obviously devastation for Buns in the final. Otto gets his chance. You know, how much would a late change affect the team? But again, does it show the resilience that it was just like, okay, perhaps not going to go with what we planned. We're going to do this, but let's just ride with it.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, we've kind of had that extra guy for a little bit and kind of dealt with some injuries, you know, little bits all throughout the season. So obviously massive shame for Otto. You know, he's been such a big part of the team the last 2 years, and to obviously miss out on the on the semi-final was, I'm sure, awful for him. But you know, a couple of the guys carrying injuries, one of them was going to obviously have to miss out. Whether it was a case of one slightly healthier than the other, or if it was more of a tactical decision, I obviously don't know. But yeah, as you said, you know, Davis seems like a really good team guy, very well liked. And, you know, he played his part Saturday. Then I'm sure he'll be gutted that he didn't play Sunday. But that's kind of being a part of a team sometimes. You know, they'll both get their medal and both play huge parts in the season. But exactly that. It just shows that the depth we've got, that, you know, you can kind of be without a guy like that and still get it done.
Jono, at 3-0, did you think it was won?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
Yeah,
I did too.
genuinely did. We just looked so comfortable. I think once we made it 3-0, I just thought, yeah, this is ours. And then they got that goal right at the end of the second, and I think that just gave them a second wind. And we looked nervous in the third. And they got their two goals back. But yeah, at 3-0, we were comfortable bossing the game. There was no reason to think that we wasn't going to go on and take the trophy in normal time. How wrong we were.
Yeah, I mean, we've all probably seen the majority of the playoff finals. I mean, they've not quite been 25. I mean, obviously the early days were the Super League. Then we went Elite League. We had a couple of years off for the pandemic, but I think most of us have been at nearly every single one of them. And you know, Ken, you like you alluded to at the start. I mean, the grand old building. It's I can't. I mean, you know, we talked about various ones. The semi-final when Panthers lost to London with 0.2 seconds remaining. Doesn't even feel like that should be a time that's you can score a goal, but you know, that did happen. Obviously, double overtime. The game went a bit later when Cardiff beat Sheffield, didn't they?
No, Sheffield beat
Sheffield beat
Cardiff.
Cardiff, sorry. Yeah, good spot, Jono. But yeah, I mean, in what is the 25th year of the building, and celebrations are going on all year from the arena. It was a final to fit a celebration, wasn't it, Kenneth?
I think so. I think it was. I was just trying to think about kind of other key moments and differentiations in that game, and obviously, you know. As Jono said, when the momentum and it was a case that the momentum started to shift in Cardiff's direction as they were, you know, they obviously equalised the game, and we did look we looked tired. I thought we looked a bit tired, and I thought, can we hold on? So how important there was it that you'd had. You know, two players chucked out. Can't, you know, Mosey and Bush chucked out. I think as it went into that double overtime situation, I think not having those two players has probably massively helped us with some of the injuries that we're carrying. And I mean, special mention to Laura Jo Bowler for keeping the guys going, because Evolve Injury Clinic really have done an amazing job. And I don't, you know, there was that point when Deeds was heavily went into the boards, and he, you know, he's been sort of not quite right for the back end of the season, lost some of his speed, carrying a bit of an injury, and he was very uncomfortable, got up and went down the tunnel, and Laura Jo went down, you know, and then a few minutes later he's back out, and he's back out on the ice, you know, basically put back together, and it's just an incredible testament to both Laura Joe, you know, and Owen as well on the strength and conditioning side, that, you know, it feels like, although we've had a bit of injury adversity, that, you know, that team in the background cannot be underestimated in terms of keeping the guys fit and as well as they can be with the punishing schedule that they've got.
Well, you make a great point. I mean, you know, obviously the people who score the goals or make the saves and the coaches take the plaudits, but you're right, the backroom staff and you're right, Laura, Joe and Owen are the key parts, as is the rest of the bench, of course.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, you can mention everything, you know, from the doctor to the equipment staff, to everyone.
Controller. You know, I told a story on the broadcast about Mitch. You know, and it's not the only equipment manager that does this, but you watch him, he's got his finger on whoever's, you know, a stick of whoever's taken the centre, because if that stick breaks, he's there. And I told the story about, and I remembered his name on at the weekend, but I can't remember it now, the Toronto Maple Leafs equipment manager who handed, I think it was to Mitch Marner, who then set up a goal. Anyway, he put it on YouTube. It was a famous thing. Gives the stick. Mitch Marner races down the right wing, puts a centre and feed, and someone scores. But yeah, you're absolutely right in a podcast where we're talking about guys on the ice, to mention the off ice team, which they've done fantastic, which can move me on really, Greener, to the combination of Danny Stewart and Linton Grant. What an amazing story. You know, Danny's, you know, first trophy in the Elite League. He comes from Coventry, comes to this pressure job in Nottingham, huge pressure on him, gets the trophy. Linton Grant comes back to the UK, you know, starting in, you know, born in the UK in the West Midlands. Family moved to North America, lives there for a decade or so, comes back and gets a trophy in his first season. That pairing, Greener, have done really well.
Yeah, I think I said it on the broadcast at the weekend a few times. I think, you know, everybody thought we would obviously, you know, improve from the last couple of years and, you know, take some steps. But I don't think anybody thought we would be as good as we've been as quickly. You know, obviously part of that's the recruitment and, you know, him and Omar kind of do that between them. But yeah, you know, for you know, even though he knows the league well, to come into a different team with almost a brand new team of imports, coming off the back of two, you know, obviously quite poor years from the Panthers, you know, everybody expected a bit of progress and obviously an improvement. But I mean, I can only speak for myself when I certainly didn't think we would be challenging for the league and the playoffs straight away. And not only just the sort of results, but the performances, you know, like Ken always says, the excitement of the home games, the, you know, some of the standard of the games we've played this year, the sort of quality of the hockey's been awesome. So, no, yeah, he's massively, you know, stepped up from Coventry here. Like you said, a lot more pressure, a lot more eyes on him, and to kind of, you know, lead us to where we have in his first year is awesome. So it's obviously just hopefully a sign of things to come.
Jono, I mean, how much can this hopefully be the catalyst for the Panthers? Obviously, you know, don't want to dwell on it too much, but last playoff success was 2016, had the Continental Cup the year after, 2020, the Elite Series. It does feel to me like a real big moment. You know, Omar Pasha came in 3 years ago, you know, had a few coaches in his first couple of years, was very adamant that, you know, when we signed Danny, the reasons, you know, and if you look back at his comments, he's exactly spot on. You know, Danny's coaching is well regarded. You only need to, as well, you have to look at, you know, if you look at social media and the amount of people from across the league, not just Coventry and Fife where he'd worked, people connected with Newcastle, people who clubs and you know, places he'd never worked, who were very quick to give him praise and under, you know, and absolutely so. You know, Omar said that Danny was the right fit, and everything he said, he came true. And going back to the original question, you know, I think this is a big moment and a big, you know, and a big milestone in the club's history, isn't it?
It is big milestone. We've set a marker now. The foundations, I think, have been built.
Mm-hmm.
And we can only go upwards. We already know that Danny and Linton are coming back. We already know that Jason Grande is coming back next season. We need to get more players from this team back next season, build a core, a settled team. And I think I genuinely think the only way is up. Danny has been phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. Just a great appointment by Omar, and he's paid us back in spades by getting us the playoff trophy. I don't think anyone, as I think as Greener alluded to, I don't think anyone expected us to have a season like we've had. We've fi finished with the playoffs. We only just missed out on the Challenge Cup final. We took a league challenge to the final weekend. I don't think anybody expected that. But now the expectations are going to ramp up,
Yeah,
and
pressure.
we have to keep them there. And I fully believe we will, because the team is in place, that the coaching is in place to
Big
keep
shout
us
out to
there.
anybody listening from Aberdeen.
I don't think you will, Ken. Let's be honest. sorry. But yeah, I think the foundations are there now. And I think a really strong dynasty, legacy, whatever you want to call it, can be built.
I mean, it's interesting because I think the Panthers organization, all of us involved in it, and all of the fans believe that we can kick on. But obviously, I think we talked about this last start of the year. It was going to be tough. I mean, you look again, like Belfast, quality organization year after year. Cardiff and Sheffield. Cardiff are going to be on the lookout for a new coach. And if we had time, we'd talk about that, but I don't think we do. So the pressure will be on them. Maybe as we speak now, we have no look at rosters. We know who's not taking them over. But Cardiff are probably in a similar position to we were last year. They're going to have to make the right appointment. But Sheffield will be with Aaron Fox. They'll no doubt want to not have another trophy this season. So Sheffield are going to be stronger. Belfast are always strong. As I say, Cardiff might, when we start the season, Cardiff might be fourth favourites, but you don't know how they'll stack up their roster. Glasgow, Corey Neilson will have another season behind him, and they will want to break in. I've been speaking to a couple of people in the last few days, and they're like, Glasgow could be the team that will break in. Their owners are ambitious. Greener, it's
Coventry with Kevin Moore, that look at the strides they've made,
exactly right. And
Dundee are no joke, man. It's a superb league.
Adam Keefe made those comments in his post-game press conference on after the semi-final on Saturday, and he was saying about the league. He says the quality of this league is phenomenal. And he says like you're playing a game seven match every single night. You've got to be on your A game to win. And he was saying how the regular season is such a grind because of that. And he's right, the quality of the league is probably the best it's ever been.
Are we letting Chris Gadsby in? Yeah.
Yeah, let me.
We'll let him in. We'll come to Chris in a minute. Chris, as we told people earlier, he's been on a 3-day bender since Panthers won the title. So most of us could only manage one night out, but Chris has just taken it to the extreme. So we'll get Chris's thoughts in a minute. Greener, I mean, he's right, isn't he? What Jono and Kenneth are saying, next year is it's going to be tough to, the pressure will be on, but it's an exciting position for the club to be in.
Yeah, I mean, and it is that. It's every year it improves year on year. I echo everything you've said. All those teams will improve. I think Guildford, if they'd have been healthy this year, obviously they probably wouldn't have won the league. But if they'd have had that team they finished with when we played them back to back, I think they would have been way further up the league. Glasgow, I think, as you've said, and it'll be really interesting with Europe. I mean, you guys will probably know. I mean, obviously, Belfast will be in the Champions League. Will be in the Continental Cup. Did Cardiff get in anything because they won the Continental Cup?
Not sure. I've seen chat about that. I don't think they
Okay.
get automatically invited back, do they?
So,
No.
obviously, those three teams will have a big draw for players. You know, it's easier, obviously, it's a good incentive being in Europe. So if all three teams end up being in Europe somehow, that will make them probably stronger. So yeah, it's going to be exactly that. You know, all of the top four teams had good years. They're going to probably retain a lot of their players, and yeah, it'll all go again in September.
Well, you haven't got long, Chris Gadsby. I suppose, first of all, how was it to
How was Vegas?
how was Vegas? Yeah, I mean, you commentated on the on the games for BBC Radio Nottingham, and had the honour of doing double overtime. Just tell us about your experience.
I mean, it was absolutely crazy. Is the simple way to describe it, really. I mean, I've been doing some research. You may have already covered it, I don't know, but I've been doing some research today. I can't find another record of a game having two overtime goals waved off.
No.
So that might have been unique that we witnessed on Sunday. Yeah, I mean, to have. It was 6 minutes and 38 seconds between Mitch putting the puck in first time around and the eventual wave off. And I think, you know, it was over, then
Can I
all of a
just
sudden
say
it
as well,
wasn't.
sorry, Chris.
Go on, go.
That's the first time in. So we've had 30 minutes of this podcast, and that's the first time Mitch
It's
Fossier's
a fair point, and we said that we were going to miss someone out. Come on, Chris, tell him.
Insane.
Mitch Fossier was in first goal.
Mercurial. Just insane.
I mean, if you had to, I don't know, if you had to pick one, if you had to pick your player of the weekend, and I gave you one, Mitch is going to be right up there. Anyway, sorry, Chris, keep going.
Sorry. No, I just so yeah, for that to have that long delay and then to think Cardiff have won it and then to have to go again in second overtime and then for Fossier to eventually be able to get past Bounds and then just the scenes afterwards and the I think I did 13 post-match interviews on the ice in the program, nearly ended up getting dunked with the ice water because Logan and Ollie decided to pour it over Danny whilst I was talking to him and only just got out of the way in time. And yeah, and then to go onto the balcony and see the fans all below and to see the team lift the trophy. I mean, I then had to go back to the office and wasn't able to party in Saltbox till the early hours like many others did. But yeah, I think it's a
I don't know what
night
you're
that's
talking
going to
about.
live long in the memory.
What party? Right,
What
before we finish, I am going to ask all of you, and we've not got long. I want the player of the weekend, and you can't all say the same one. So let's start with Greener, Panthers player of the weekend, and why? You've got 50
Oh, that's good.
seconds.
I get the first one. That's easy. I mean, I'll obviously say Sam Hare. No, not even because of the retirement and everything like that, but just obviously the overtime winner Saturday and two goals Sunday. He's probably the main reason we're playoff champions. Obviously, you know, loads of people had great weekends, but if he's not playing that weekend, we don't win it. Simple as that.
Chris, you were last, so you're going to be last. Jono, come
Fine.
on, I'll go you second.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Kupersek.
Oh, I was going to go him.
L
Yeah, go on then.
lot of assists. Was brilliant in defense as well, but his setup play was just second to none. So yeah,
Kenneth Beast.
set for me.
I'm gonna be nice to both you and Chris, given he's gone already. So, and I'm gonna go Alfaro.
Yeah, I mean, I was thought you would go Mitch Fossier, so I was going to go Alfaro. So I'm going to go Mitch
That's
Fossier because,
why I left
yeah,
Mitch Fossier for you, because
that's fair enough.
it's the easy choice.
Yeah,
I mean,
Mitch
the guy,
Fossier.
yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not going to wow anyone here because it's obvious. Mitch Fossier, I just, I'll make a case for him because he was outstanding. You score the game winner, but it wasn't
Twice.
twice, yeah. But he showed why. He's
Yeah.
one of the leading point scorers in the league. Chris Gadsby, you've got about 30 seconds.
Okay, slightly out of left field. I'm going with Matt Spencer. The number of shots he got in front of, particularly in that final, the number of pucks he blocked was just incredible.
And none of us said Jason Grande, and he had a great weekend as well. What a podcast, guys. We're going to have to shoot, but thanks very much for joining us. We'll be back again to talk about signing news and things like that. But for now, on the Playoff Winning Podcast, thanks for joining us.